Hello, welcome to Why Not Me? In life, we face many trials and obstacles, many challenges, and in the thick of it, we can be tempted to think, why me? But every obstacle presents an opportunity, and every trial can bring triumph. So I want to encourage you to adapt a mindset of, why not me? When in the middle of it, when things are tough, look around and think, why not me? It's happening for a purpose. And then, when success is at your doorstep, and all you have to do is open it, you may find yourself hesitating, questioning, is this for me? Do I deserve this? And I want to encourage you to adapt a mindset of, why not me? Throw the door open wide, shout to the world, why not me? Embrace your success. I'm your coach, Todd Halls. I'm grateful to have you on this journey. Welcome to Why Not Me?
Hello, hello. Welcome to Why Not Me? Turning trials into triumphs, seeking and embracing success. This is your host, Coach Todd Halls. Excited as always to be here and grateful to be here. Listeners, thank you for tuning in and excited to for our guest today and what he has to share. With us today, we have Alex Borma. And Alex, he's a business owner, an entrepreneur, co-founder of a company called Next Door Exteriors, and so much more, which we're about to find out about. So with that, Alex, welcome to Why Not Me?
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So give us a little bit of background. I've pretty much shared most of what I know about Alex so far. Fill in some blanks for us. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah. So I'm actually Canadian originally. I grew up in Florida and pretty much all around a little bit. Last place I was California about 7 years ago. And then I moved back to Florida to pretty much follow my entrepreneurial destiny.
All right. So to unpack that a little bit, when you say your entrepreneur destiny, have you reached the destiny or are you still en route?
Oh yeah, definitely still en route. It seems that as soon as I get to any of the goals that I've got, new ones unfold and you're just kind of constantly going, but different landmarks, I guess you could say milestones. But when I lived in California, I worked for other people and it just didn't really jive with me. So I kind of learned everything I needed to know as far as the car world was concerned, but I had a non-compete. So I basically ran to Florida where they don't hold up as well. So that's when I started a dealership and I did that for about 7 years before switching over to construction.
So you had a car dealership.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. Yep. Cool, cool. So yep. Kind of curious, you were working for somebody else. When did you know, like, someday I'm going to have a business? Or you know, is this something that's been lifelong? Is this something that, you know, as you age, matured, whatever the word is, like, suddenly it's like, you know what? I can do this. How'd that unfold?
So it's funny for me. It kind of unfolded by not my choice, per se. I wouldn't know how to really explain it, but it seemed the more work I did for other companies, the more they made, but I didn't really make difference. Like it was kind of capping myself out wherever I would be at. I usually focused around sales or marketing, and I just felt that the more companies wanted from me, the less I was able to give. But I was able to give myself that. So what it started with was I was actually just fixing and flipping cars on the side in California. And that ended up being a conflict of interest for the company that I worked for at the time. So they gave me the ultimatum of either working full-time for them or quitting. And honestly, I made more money flipping cars myself than I did working for the company. So moved here to Florida, and then I basically just did that until I was doing 2, 3, 4 cars a week. And I got myself into a position that I would have gotten into legal trouble if I didn't get a license and insurance in a place. So then that's where that unfolded. But I think it was honestly, I just couldn't really fathom making other people 6 times more, 7 times more than I was making, even though I was doing all of the work. At least that's what it felt like.
Sure. It's interesting. So I would have never thought of opening a car dealership as something that happened organically. But what you just described, it was almost like, well, you planted a seed here and then another one. And before you knew it, you had a garden.
Yeah.
Metaphorically speaking.
Yeah. And it was funny is because I would have just kept it natural, to be honest. If I could just flipped at the time three, four cars a week, I was making a happy living. So the fact that the government kind of came at me, or the city basically coming in and saying, hey, this is illegal, you can't do that, is what actually forced me to kind of take that next step. So it's funny as I'm conservative at heart, but it seems that when you take the right actions, you can't help but to move forward.
Sure. So, car dealership for 7 years, right? Yep. And then, what led to construction? Because it doesn't seem like a natural. Hey, cars are great. Let's grow into the construction field. It's kind of a about face.
Yeah, it's funny. The only things they really have in common is the sales portions. You're dealing with people, and that's really what kind of stems the two. For me, it was COVID. So COVID hit, all the banks kind of started to take their inventory back. They kind of started breaking down their financing abilities. People weren't really buying new cars per se, but they were buying old cars cash. And I honestly had a friend that was doing roofing for a company where they were basically just paying him for leads. And I kind of broke down profit margins, and I saw that at least in the roofing aspect, it was very similar to how cars worked. Product brought in, product brought to its perfect condition for sale or selling, and then it's off into the hands of the customer and you collect that cash. Roofing was very similar, but without having the what I call dead money, because if I had to take 5 grand in my own pocket to buy a vehicle, I had to sit on that until it was gone. Versus with roofing, I don't have to buy product until I've actually got a contract with the homeowner. So for me, I just saw, okay, I can work half the hours that I'm used to working and make double the money. So for me, it was kind of an innovative curve that I just had to kind of had to jump on.
Yeah. It's interesting. What was I just talking about or reading actually? Where they talk about if you've got payment for the services or the products up front of some sort, you can scale pretty rapidly compared to having to put money down. And granted, this is a little different. It's not like they're handing you a briefcase of cash and saying, go get my materials. But you at least know there's a signed contract. So even so, you've described sales, going back to the car flipping and being a mechanic, and at least that's what I have in my mind. Like when you talk about buying a car and flipping it, you describe it like you're doing some sort of work to it. When did you get your sales skills? Where'd that come from?
Sales has just innately been me. Sales is essentially being able to communicate with somebody. And from my perspective, what makes a good salesperson is not having the right answers, it's being able to ask the right questions. And I've just always innately been able to do that. I look at it more like advising. Sales, you can look at like, all right, you got some lotion or something, and you're like, this is the best product. You should buy this. You're selling. But in the world of cars and roofing, you're not going, hey, you're wanting a sports car, right? Here's a minivan, right? You're going, well, what are you trying to do? What's the purpose of this purchase, right? You're kind of qualifying them before you're really laying out the sales perspective. So I've always naturally been able to do that. I genuinely care about who I'm working with, and I feel like crap if I sell them something they don't actually need. So for me, I've always just been looking for the biggest ticketed items. I personally thought it would be medical sales, like medical equipment, like CAT scan machines, because that would be the biggest thing I could sell somebody on a one-to-one basis. But over time, I started to realize that you want to find a nice medium ground, something you're comfortable with, and focus on volume, because the volume will outscale the profit margin 99% of the time.
Sure. And for you, roofing and exteriors fits that niche or that space. So what all do you do? 'Cause you've described where you get a contract, you order the materials, then are you installing as well? Do you have crews out there?
Yeah, I had to hire a crew. I basically brought in crews that I knew from previous jobs that I've had. So I did sales for roofing companies prior to starting my roofing company, kind of like my investigative, is this worth it? Can I do it? And over the year of my investigative working for others, I met people, met connections, production managers, roofers per se, the people that do the installs, material companies, supply companies. I just basically developed a book. And then when I was ready to pull the trigger and start my own thing, I basically went back through my Rolodex and just tried to find people that wanted to move on to newer and bigger things as well. So yeah, we, as far as the sales, I have my own sales canvassing team. I do my own marketing. Honestly, it's a lot of neighborhood canvassing. Online is not bad, but one-on-one sales has been pretty much the breadwinner for our company.
So when you say neighborhood canvassing, are you speaking of going door to door?
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's a daunting task when you look at it, but when you're showing up with a purpose, it's not that bad. We're not just coldly following up saying, "Hey, do you need a roof? Hey, do you need a roof?" It's kind of like we look at the permits in a neighborhood and we'll map out exactly which houses have roofs older than 15 years, and those will become subjected to our marketing now. So instead of trying to send out 5,000 flyers, we're going to send out 100 flyers, but they're going to go to exactly who we know needs our services. They may just not know they need it yet. So then it's a lot of follow-up. Like I'd say 60% of our business is follow-up. So once they know who you are and you're just kind of showing up, it's kind of like a Chinese menu. It just, that business card or flyer sits in their cabinet, and then they just call you when they need you, and you're just there. And 50 to 60% of our business is also referral based. So once we get into a neighborhood, we're basically just tackling every roof that has an old roof in that neighborhood for 4 or 5 months. We're just, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, just want to let you know, we just did Joe's house down the way. Wanted to see what you thought." You know, it's like, you're just engaging with people. You're not even necessarily selling them. You're just introducing yourself. And then they see the name and they see the trucks and they're just like, "Oh, I need a roof. My roof's leaking." Or, "Huh, that's weird. My insurance company is going to drop me." Once one of these things happen, you've already been in their life for like 5 months. So then they just naturally, almost like a brand, will call you up.
Yeah, it's that staying top of mind. Like they may not need you today, but it's a service that if they own their home at some point, that home's going to need a roof. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. People don't usually get roofs as like an aesthetic pleasing thing. It's not like, "Oh, I'm gonna time to get a new car. I'm gonna get a Mercedes." It's like, mm-hmm. "Crap, I have to get a roof." So in that mind, the best thing you can do is just kind of ease them into it without having a heart attack. Because sometimes, you know, on these bigger roofs, they can be 10, 20 grand. And sometimes people just don't have that readily available.
Sure. Sure, sure. Yeah. And do you also do roof maintenance per se, roof cleaning, or is it strictly a replace? You know,
the thing that I focus on is just providing the best product that I can. When you're dealing with mainly asphalt shingles, specifically in Florida, it's petroleum based. You can't really maintain it. When it breaks, it breaks. It's supposed to hold up its weight. So I get people try to be proactive as best they can, and it's a good thing. But if you get a windstorm that comes through, or that roof is older than 15, 16 years, 18 years, it just is going to be what it is. You can do repairs, but it's kind of like gremlins, because once you repair one section, the areas around it are going to have an issue, or maybe the next slope's going to have an issue. And honestly, the best thing you can do is just be proactive about it and just try to get the savings where you can. So the thing that I've been focusing on is there's a lot of cost when it comes to electricity, and there's a lot of cost when it comes to insurance. So if it's going to cost you, let's say you had to go the financing route, and it's going to cost you $200 a month for a new roof for 5, 6, 7 years. Well, the best thing we can do is just give you the best product we have, get insulation in there, and then we'll give you a wind mitigation and a 4-point so that they can shop new insurance so that, all right, yes, you have to pay $200 a month now, but you just saved $150 to $100 on your insurance, and you're saving $50, $60, $80 on your electricity. Voila, you just made it a wash, and you're good to go.
Yeah. So you mentioned saving on electricity. Is that because you're installing solar at the same time, or where's the
Not necessarily. No, I mean, you do get a lot more saving benefits with solar, but you don't necessarily have to go solar to save on electricity. A lot of the times you can do a simple energy audit and you can kind of see where your electricity is going. A lot of the times you'll see inflation comes up 15, 20% a year just because the suppliers are just going up. But if you have a pool, your pool pump can just be running 24/7. Well, now that's an electricity that's just being used when it shouldn't. Or you have a heater and you're just heating your pool 24/7. That's going to go up. So little things like that, where you just get like a solar water heater, or you get a variable speed pool pump that will basically change. I mean, there's this great system called EcoStella, and it basically attaches to your AC condenser, and it'll actually conserve the energy going into your AC, because a lot of the times a lot of electricity gets wasted when that AC is kicking on and kicking off. So it'll regulate your AC for you and it'll kick your electricity back. So solar is going to be your best bet, because it's kind of like, all right, why did you buy your home versus rent somewhere? It's kind of that same idea, but you can still do savings elsewhere, like insulation or your roof. If you have bad insulation, you're just going to have more AC bills because it's constantly kicking, versus if it just doesn't need to run as much. So it's little things like that. If you just kind of look a little further than the front, you can kind of see where things are going. And then you can say, hey, Mr. Homeowner, Mrs. Homeowner, this is the solution you're looking for. And then it's no longer a sale. It's like a doctor, right? Like, you're not having a doctor and your knee is blown out. And the doctor's like, is it okay if we sell you this surgery? You know, they're kind of telling you, hey, this is what you need. In my professional opinion, you need this. How can we get this done? You know, that's kind of the mentality you keep in.
Sure. Got it. So when they engage with you, they're getting more than just a guy that's trying to sell a roof and move on. Yeah,
Yes.
they're getting somebody that actually wants to eliminate as much pain as he can that they may be experiencing from the expenses of owning their home.
Correct. That's the best way to do it. Whatever field you're in, you're the professional, right? Like, I can see 100 roofs in a week, and I can see how a roof can leak 100 different ways. But to a homeowner, their leak is genuinely unique to them, and they don't know what it is. So it can be kind of like the nomenclature, right? You get so used to it where I'm like, oh, it's a capillary effect in your drip edge. And they're like, what the hell are you even saying to me? But if you just kind of remember that everyone is new to this, and you just got to remember, okay, let's just explain it again. You just get used to the explanation point, and it's like you're explaining it to your grandmother, right? If you can explain something like it's your grandmother, then you know you're communicating appropriately and you're not getting lost in translation.
Sure. That makes sense. So, what are you most excited for in the coming year? As you're looking ahead, what's coming down the track that you're just really pumped for?
Expansion.
Oh, cool. So talk about that. What's the where are we at and where are we headed? What's that look like?
That's the anyone listening that's trying to start their own business or runs their own business probably knows, but learning how to expand past your own means is probably one of the more difficult things you can do. So I'm good at going into a home and knowing exactly what somebody needs, but somebody that wants to come work for me, training them and getting them to understand the purpose and how to get somebody what they need the same way you do, that's tough. Because they'll always make it their own. And you have to be able to allow them to make it their own. You have to almost create this environment where they can thrive. But how you do that, it's like gardening. You know, you're gonna, well, what's the best soil to let this thing grow as best it can? Well, that didn't work. Oh, well, does it need more water? Is it, you know, you don't know what a person needs to grow in your industry. So when you're expanding, you can run into issues where maybe they told the homeowner the wrong thing, or they sold them the wrong product, and now you have to go and fix that product. And it's like, that's probably the hardest part. So the main thing I'm focusing on this year is delegation, but also policy making, so that I can make sure that any mistakes I've ever made, I can put it down in writing and make sure, well, what made that happen? Why did that go wrong? What did I do to fix it? And then make sure policy is around that, so that when I pass on my hat, it can be you know, duplicated and they understand what they're doing and they can kind of jump in right where I left off, per se. And a big thing too is cockiness. So being able to delegate, expecting people to do your job as good, if not better than you, is really tough. And I think that's a reason that a lot of people stay small. They're afraid to pass the hat on. So being okay with somebody doing like 60 to 70% as good as you, just in the sake of delegating and allowing them to grow, is something you got to do as well. But that's going to be my big hurdle this year, is tripling our numbers and making sure that I can place people on the right areas where they're going to thrive.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you described the basically creating an environment where somebody can learn from your mistakes and your successes, but essentially making sure that this is all documented, and we can shorten the learning curve for anybody that comes along.
Correct. And then make sure that they're in an area where they're successful, because they have to win for you to win. And a big issue that I've had is I do a lot of training, but my compensation isn't as heavy, or I'm missing something somewhere, and they'll go to another company. And now all of a sudden, everything I taught them is gone to the competitor. So getting that in line where, you know, non-competes are in, non-disclosures, which don't necessarily hold up as well in Florida as I'd like them to, kind of having like a pre-agreement and making sure that whatever compensation rate you got is competitive enough to where they feel they're at home, right? And if you can create it to be like a family, you know, I'm not saying like throw pizza parties and that's good enough. Like if you can set it up to be competitive and bonus structures to where they feel like when they're winning, they've won, that's going to be a very successful action, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and part of that is just the culture that you are intentionally nurturing, right? What's it feel like to work there? And how are they compensated, not just financially, but socially, spiritually, environmentally, physically, like all these things come to play in that.
Yep.
Exactly. And then you described one of the biggest hurdles, I think you even called it that, challenges for business owners, is just letting go. Like, okay, you're going to go do this now, and letting go and letting them fly. Are you ready to do that?
I'm getting there. I'm definitely getting there. It is kind of like that. It's like the bird leaving the nest kind of thing. And that's probably the next couple steps this quarter I got, is being able to put everything in writing, trust that I can put somebody in that position and allow Nextdoor to become the entity, right? Because right now I'm Nextdoor, but how do I get Nextdoor into its own engine, per se? How do I grease it up to where it's self-spinning? I don't have to do anything. I can roll in once a week, once a month, and I can see that everything is rolling per the dream that I put together. That's pretty much the hurdles this year, but slowly but surely.
Yeah. Growing pains. They're fun, right?
What's that?
I said growing pains. They're fun, right?
Yes, exactly.
Cool. So Alex, as we're coming in to land the plane, couple things. Yep. First, for folks either A, in Clearwater, Tampa, in your sphere, that want your services or could use your help, how do they contact you? Or somebody that's listening that just something resonated and would like to learn more about you or from you, what's the best place to reach you?
If you wanted to reach me, obviously I have a Facebook, but Nextdoor has a Facebook page. Nextdoor has an Instagram page, and we have a website, nextdoorext.com. I mean, you can Google it. You'll see us on Nextdoor as well. They can reach out at any time. We have a section specifically for inspections on the website, but it goes into an email. So if you had a question, you could put it in that form, and it can be in my email. Facebook's very easy too. I get those directly to my phone. So if you sent me a message on Nextdoor's page, it would go straight to me.
Okay, so nextdoorext.com or Alex Borma on Facebook.
Yep, that's my personal one. Nextdoor Exteriors does have a Facebook page as well. They both go to me. So
cool, fantastic. All right, so if you would, leave our listeners with one important or impactful question that you think we should all be considering.
I guess in the sense of focusing on a world of chaos, trying to focus on one thing at a time, focus on organization and ask yourself, what's my next step? And just focus on that next step. What's my next step? What's my end product? Reverse engineer it down to step-by-step basis, and then ask yourself, all right, what's my next step?
What's my next step? I love it. Alex, thanks so much for being here. Really appreciate your contribution to the show. This has been amazing.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me again.
A pleasure. A pleasure. Listeners, thank you for being here. Before we go, I just want to mention today's show is being sponsored by Todd Halls Coaching, LLC. To support us, support them. You can find them at www.coachtoddhalls.com. And I'm going to leave you with this final thought. Whatever vision you've been given, whatever dream God has put on your heart, remember, you can. Until next time, be bold, be humble, stay healthy, stay hopeful, live life strong, and peace to you.
Well, thank you so much for listening. For even more on turning trials into triumphs and seeking and embracing success, go to toddhalls.life. That's toddhalls.life. And I look forward to serving you. Until next time, be strong, be bold, be humble, stay healthy, stay hopeful. Peace to you.